Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Legos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and boy, do we have another unprecedented show for you today, guys. Ooh. We have Michelle Bell here in the studio, editor of Supplier Global Resource. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
Nicole Rollander is here, our director of education. How are you, Nicole?
Great.
And Joe Haley, everyone's favorite managing editor, is here. How are you doing, Joe?
I am terrific.
As usual, Craig Veltri will be manning the tech booth, and Vinnie Driscoll will be taking your calls later in the program at 215-953-4979. But first, are you guys ready for the big news?
I am.
We have First Lady Laura W. Bush on the show in just a moment. Now, of course, Ms. Bush is one of America's most popular first ladies. She's investigated and showcased successful programs for early childhood education, at-risk youth, global literacy, and preservation of our national parks, among other things. Ms. Bush has traveled to 76 different countries, including historic trips to Afghanistan, and she's launched groundbreaking educational and healthcare programs for women all over the globe. And she is going to make not one, but two appearances at ASI Dallas this year. She's going to deliver the Friday keynote on February 18th and talk about life in the White House, which I know is going to be very exciting for our members. She is also that day going to keynote our ASI Women's Summit that afternoon on February 18th from noon to 3:30. And she's going to talk about shaping the future, empowering women around the globe. That event is going to be sponsored by Fields Manufacturing, J. Charles Crystal Works, and Logo Mats. And, of course, the keynote will be sponsored by Pepco Palms. But let's get right to it and welcome Ms. Laura Bush to the radio show. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the show. And I'm looking forward to seeing everybody in Dallas on February 18th.
Well, we can't wait. We're getting a lot of excited inquiries, and I know that it's going to be two great events. Well, let's get right to the questions.
All right.
We've got eight questions for you this morning. First of all, as First Lady, you were and still are extremely involved with various causes, from women's rights and health care to literacy and educational efforts. But can you tell us about a moment that really hit home for you, maybe when you realized that you were really making a difference in people's lives?
Well, I knew when George was elected, and of course I had a great role model, my mother-in-law. I'd watched her while she was First Lady of the United States, and I knew when George was elected that I had a podium, that I would have a chance to talk about things that were important to me. And of course I started with literacy and education because that's what I'd worked on my entire life. But then after September 11th, when I made the presidential radio address, the first time a First Lady had made the whole radio address for the president about the way women and children were treated in Afghanistan. And shortly after that, I was shopping with my daughter Jenna in Austin. She was in college then in Austin at a department store. And the women who sold cosmetics came up to me and said, "Thank you so much for speaking for the women in Afghanistan." And that was really when I first understood that I did have a podium and that people would listen to me when I talked about different issues. And it also made me realize the responsibility I had, because people would listen and that I had a chance to talk about things that were important for our country and that really could help our country.
Mrs. Bush, when you moved into the White House, what was the most surprising way your life changed?
I think the thing that shocked me, and I think George both the most, is how pampered our presidents and their families are, and how all of those people that work at the White House, the butlers and the ushers, who we already knew really well because they worked there for every administration, and we had met them when George's dad lived there, how every single day they come to work to make sure that the life of the family of the president and the family of the president is great, and I really, really appreciate that. They're who I miss the most, being gone from the White House, just because I got to be great friends with all of them while they lived there. My mother-in-law, Barbara Bush, said, "Don't say something like, 'I wonder what it'd be like to have bookshelves over on that wall,' because she said the next day the carpenter would have put bookshelves there."
Any one special little perk or indulgence that you miss?
Oh, sure, of course. I miss the chef.
Ah.
So does George.
All right. Well, Tim Andrews, our CEO and president, has joined us, and he would like to ask you a question as well.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Hey, thanks very much for joining us. We really appreciate you being on the show today and getting ramped up for our ASI Dallas show.
Great.
You were constantly in the public eye as First Lady, and it really takes a strong person to ignore, you know, criticism, negative press. Many people in business are forced to overcome lots of different obstacles and keep themselves really motivated in times of difficulty. What advice would you give to a business person who's trying to overcome a major personal or professional challenge?
Well, I think my advice would be to just keep your eye on the ball, you know, to realize what to keep minding your business, so to speak. I was actually with some friends last night, who one of whom is having serious health problems, and they said that, actually. They said, we're trying to just keep, you know, just keep into our own business and keep going along while they were dealing with these the crippling effects of this health problem that one of them was having. And I think that's what is important. I think for both the president and the first lady, when you live in the White House, including our current president and first lady, that there's so much coming at you, so much criticism, and then of course also lots of positive support from the Americans as well. But I think what you have to do is just keep your eye on what the goal is and what are the ways you can continue to work toward that goal. And not be sidetracked by criticism or other problems that come up.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mrs. Bush. This is Joe Haley. During your most challenging times while First Lady, what were some tactics you utilized to work through those difficult issues?
Well, I think that's a really good question. I think it's a question for everyone to think about in their own lives. One of the things that George and I have always done is really tried to manage stress in our lives, and it came really pretty naturally. We like to go to bed early. We like to get up early. We don't drink. You know, just a lot of things that I think can put obstacles in your way. And I think it's important to try to manage your own stress by taking care of your own health and making all the wise decisions that we all know what they are about how to be healthy, because if you are in good physical shape, if you work out, if you do all the things that George does, then you can manage your stress better. And if you're in good physical shape, then I think that helps you a lot in trying to overcome any difficulties and work through difficult issues. I think you think better when you've exercised and eaten a healthy diet and really watched all the ways you can make good decisions.
So who exercises more, you or Mr. Bush?
No, he
or
does, Bush? Of course. He's a very, very disciplined athlete. And I do yoga right now, which I love to do, and I find that very relaxing and a way to deal with stress. And then I love to go for walks, too.
Well, hi, Mrs. Bush. This is Michelle Bell. Young women especially need strong female role models to look up to. How have you tried to work with your daughters to be strong women, and what kind of advice do you give them about achieving their loftiest goals?
Well, I think young American women are so fortunate right now to have so many good role models. I mean, when you look at Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, I think both of those women, all the new women who were just elected. There's a new, you know, there are a lot of new women who were just elected in the elections this month, and I think those are really good role models for young women. I wanted Barbara and Jenna to grow up to live their own lives in a way that I thought they would be happiest. And George and I really are very, very proud of what they've done. They got a lot of interest from us. They had the chance to travel with us to Africa when George was president, for instance. After that first trip to Africa, Barbara went back to Yale and took their big survey course on AIDS. And now she's working in global health. And Jenna, of course, is a teacher, and she wanted to be that, I think, partly just because of knowing how much I love teaching and the stories I used to tell them about how funny the children were that I taught and funny things they said and funny things that happened in the classroom. And so I think there are a lot of ways that mothers and fathers can help their children, their daughters grow up to be strong women. But I also want to say I think it's really important in the United States for us to look at boys. Girls have every opportunity right now, and when we look at the statistics, boys are not doing as well. There are fewer boys in college. There are fewer boys in graduate school. And we know that boys are more often the ones to be in trouble, to be arrested, to use drugs and alcohol, and I think it's really important for us to start trying to nurture boys in the same way that we've nurtured girls over the last few decades.
Well, that's a really good point. Thank you.
That's a great point.
Mrs. Bush, this is something that's near and dear to my heart. Why do you think all people should consider volunteering or getting involved with a cause that means a lot to them? And how does doing that enrich a person's personal and business life?
Well, I think reaching out of yourself by being able to help other people, volunteering to help other people, is really one of the true satisfactions of life. And one of the things I especially recommend for young people, for teenagers who are still working with their trying to figure out who they are and what their own self-image is. And I think it's really important at that age to start to volunteer, to start to reach out to other people. When we reach out to other people, we can get out of our own problems and out of our own little world that we, you know, create for ourselves. And I think it's so important to volunteer. And there's so many ways people can. I like it when people think about what they're interested in. A lot of times we're inspired by one person we meet and we want to help them if they're raising money for cancer, for breast cancer, for instance, like my friend Nancy Brinker, who founded the Komen Foundation. Or there's so many ways you can help in schools, and I think that's really important. To see if you can volunteer in your closest elementary school and read to children or work with one child who needs some special help and special attention from an adult.
Mrs. Bush, this is Nicole Rollander. Before I asked you about what the biggest surprise for you moving into the White House was, and you had a really interesting answer. So now I want to ask you, since you've transitioned from life in the White House to a community and a daily life that's more out of the public eye, what's been the biggest change for you?
Well, the biggest change, of course, is just being that, you know, having a really normal life, living back in our own home in a neighborhood on a street where we can take our dogs for a walk and you know, all the things that we all, I think, take so much for granted, but that you miss when you move to the White House. And that's just the opportunity to go out to dinner with friends or go for walks or shop. And I do a lot of those things here in Dallas. And George and I both do, and we're really enjoying that, just the privacy of a public, of a private life. And we know that we'll never really be anonymous again for the rest of our lives, and that's one of the things you give up, I think, when you run for office. You know, I won't have the chance to travel to Europe and sit at a sidewalk cafe and watch people like I might have in another time in my life and enjoyed very much. But on the other hand, we have the chance to and had the chance to travel all over the world and meet so many interesting people whose friendships we treasure and who we're still friends with.
This is Tim Andrews again. I so appreciate your comments about nonprofits. I'm involved in a number of nonprofits, and I find so much energy that comes out of those. And as you think about causes and projects that you're planning to focus on, you know, what's the next few years look like, 3 to 4 or 5 years? You know, what are you planning to focus on?
Well, I'm continuing to work with women in Afghanistan. I hosted the U.S. Afghan Women's Conference here in Dallas last March to talk about literacy and education for girls and women in Afghanistan. I'm going to continue to champion women's rights through the Bush Institute. George and I both want to work with women in Afghanistan and then across the broader Middle East because we believe that they'll be the ones who lead the democracy movement in those countries, and I think that's really important. Through the Bush Institute, I'll work on education. I announced just a few weeks ago through the Bush Institute a principles program that we're starting here. It's a very audacious and wide program to try to do the research first that shows what are the characteristics that make the best school principals and what are the ways we can make sure principals everywhere are armed with those great characteristics, with a goal of being able to certify at least half of the principals in the United States over the next 10 years. There are only 130,000 school principals in the United States, and there are probably 50 times that numbers of teachers. But we know that principals are the ones who set up the schools. The way they structure schools can really make the difference in a teacher's success and a student's success. So I'm excited about continuing to work on education through this initiative, working with principals, and then, of course, to continue to work with women around the world.
All right, Mrs. Bush, now we're going to ask you a question that we ask every single person we interview on the show, and that is, What are your favorite promotional products? And do you have any promo items in your home or office that you use every day? I'm sure in your travels you've come across many.
Well, I think actually this is probably the way every single woman answers. Those promotional products, those special creams and oils that you're handed as you walk through the cosmetic counters, you know, they're probably, I probably do use some moisturizer that I was given first as a promotional product in the cosmetics department of the store somewhere. But also, the one thing that I got recently that I was given as a gift in a gift bag, the, you know, famous gift bags, was a BlackBerry that was given to me by one of the sponsors of the event where I was given the bag that actually is a communications company. And, of course, this BlackBerry, I have to use that communication company that gave it to me. But I would, you know, not use the computer for the 8 years at the White House. My staff had always used the computer, and so I didn't really even think about getting a BlackBerry until I was given one. And now, like everyone else in the United States, you know, I have it in my hand at every moment, and I'm addicted to it. And even my girls are saying, "Mother, you know, quit." Put it down and start talking to us. So that's the one promotional product that I still use every single day.
Now, is the question is, are you emailing or are you actually texting your daughters on the BlackBerry?
Well, we are texting. We are on BlackBerry Messenger together, the three of us. We have a constant conversation going on, which has been really fun.
That's very impressive.
It's a fun way to stay in contact, and we seldom call each other on the phone anymore now. We just write each other.
Well, that's great. Well, we really want to thank you for having, it's been an honor to have you on the show, Mrs. Bush, and we're really looking forward to seeing you in Dallas.
Me too. I'm so glad you all are coming here, and thank you for asking me to be a part of it.
Thanks very much.
I'll see you in February.
Okay, see you then.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, thank you. That was First Lady Laura Bush, and of course you'll have two opportunities to see her in February at the Dallas Show, the keynote on February 18th at 8 a.m., when she'll be talking about all of her great experiences of with life in the White House. And then, of course, at the Women's Summit that afternoon, noon to 3:30, you'll actually, guests will be actually be able to mingle with Mrs. Bush during the cocktail hour. She'll deliver a great keynote about empowering women around the globe. And everyone who comes will get a personalized autographed copy of Mrs. Bush's book, which is Spoken from the Heart.
It's a very good read.
How about that for a great deal?
That's
know, Nicole
awesome
just
deal.
Read it. So, two opportunities to see Mrs. Bush at ASI Dallas. Check out asishow.com for more information.
I think
well,
she's
that
just
was
lovely.
Great, wasn't
she's
it?
Lovely.
It was great.
She really
yeah.
is.
She's I think great. Her point about boys is really an important point because, you know, there are lots of programs about women and girls and mentoring, and that's a very interesting point she made.
I actually wrote that down. I mean, because I've never heard anyone speak to that.
Right.
Usually, you know, how do we help girls, and girls don't have the role models. And that's an interesting take.
Absolutely. Well, that was really exciting. So, go to asishow.com and be sure to register for those two events at the show in Dallas. All right. Now we've got some other business to take care of. First, we're going to pause for a message from today's show sponsor, I Promote You. And when we return, Michelle is going to talk about gift-giving trends for the holiday season.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
We are back with ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where we just had First Lady Laura Bush on the show. But now we're moving toward gift-giving trends for the holiday season. Tim Andrews, since you're here, what's on your list for Santa this year?
For gifts I'm going to give or people
that,
I'm,
you want?
That I want, what I want? I always ask the same thing for the last 3 years for my friends.
Yes.
I send a note out with a couple of nonprofits that I'm involved in, and I ask them to just send a check of any size to one of those two nonprofits, and that's the best thing they can do for me because, you know, I've got a house full of everything you'd ever want.
Well, that's a great idea. Michelle, what are some other gift-giving trends this year?
She probably wants actual, you know, items. You want shoes or something,
Michelle
right, Michelle?
I
would like Johnny Depp, as always.
Oh, my God.
You know, I will say, though, I just saw a trailer for his new movie.
Yes.
And he does not look as good as he usually does.
Even on a bad day, I would take Johnny Depp, just so you know.
He looks like a green bean with a you know, black-eyed pea head or something.
What?
Like,
interesting. Now you offended Nicole too because she too is a Johnny Depp fan.
Yeah, I don't even get that. Green bean?
He's like skinny as a green bean and like all limp
well,
and
his skin
slumped over
little,
his shoulders and
a little rough.
Please, come on.
Anyway.
Be nice to Mr. Depp.
Get with the new century here.
So according to the 2010 Holiday Business Gift Survey conducted by ASI distributor Lands' End Business Outfitters, more than 54% of employees are planning on buying a gift on behalf of their organization, and 50% of employees and business partners are looking forward to it. Given the option, nearly 73% of respondents would rather receive a high-quality gift than a holiday office party. I disagree with that, but be that as it may. The survey also found that most employers that tend to purchase holiday gifts for employees and clients plan on spending the same amount or a little more than they did last year, about $25 per employee or client. And when asked to select the category of gift that employees or business partners were most likely to receive, 37% said apparel, followed by gift cards. Also, employers said that one of the most important things they look to when they select gifts is the product able to be logoed? How about that?
Well, you know, we talked on the show last week about our own corporate gift survey we released last week, mm-hmm. and the majority of people who, companies that were sending out holiday gifts said that they intended to logo or imprint the gifts. So that's good news for the industry, for sure.
I think people enjoy holiday parties, though. I don't like the idea of...
But you can have a party and give away a nice gift as people are leaving. Yeah. You know,
which
sort
is
of a
what
nice
we do sometimes
gift.
At ASI. Yeah. I think we've had poinsettias.
Yeah, we've given away lots of things. Absolutely. We have lots of surprises.
Those candle holders that 1 year.
Oh, and lanterns.
Which I still
lanterns.
Have. Yeah, the lanterns.
Lanterns.
I still have that sitting on my chest at home. So.
And we just passed out the little hats to mm-hmm. promote the time and location of our party this year.
Joe's wearing that hat
which
all the time
in the office.
Which
is a carnival theme.
I like
right?
it. It's yeah. a little carnival
are
theme,
you gonna
apparently.
Are you going to be dressing up as a
I
circus
can't
clown?
Say anything about
I know
it.
There's going to be
clowns, no, I don't do clowns. Clowns, I draw the line.
But you're dressing up as something.
Clowns scare me.
They scare a lot of people.
You'll be dressing up, though.
No.
Okay.
Not really.
All right. Well, we'll stay tuned.
Unless you want me to. What do you want me to wear?
A lion.
Michelle's going to be taking pictures at the at
all
our
the more reason
party.
Not to dress up.
So maybe we can put them up on our site after the party so people
we sure
can
will.
See the results. All right. Apparently, women have more money in their wallets these days. Is that right, Nicole?
It's very exciting. Marketers are talking about the she economy. So it's been a long
she economy.
She economy. I like that. It's you know been a long held belief that women make 85% of the purchasing decisions in their households. But now, what's changing more and more is that more than half of the high paying management and professional positions are held by women who buy as women. So a couple quick stats, and this kind of speaks back to what Laura Bush was saying. 35% of women now, as compared to 27% of men, hold a bachelor's degree or higher, which is interesting. It was estimated that women globally earned $13 trillion in 2009, and that's projected to rise to $18 trillion in 2014.
$18 trillion?
Yeah, that's a lot of money. And, you know, in some traditionally male, say, dominated where men are buying, women are $90 billion worth of the consumer electronics business, 44% of them are NFL fans, and $105 billion of the $256 billion home improvement market are women. So, you know, a couple marketing tips. You know, one thing, don't take a girly or cutesy marketing approach with pink themes or other stereotypical approaches to marketing to females. Also, you know, don't say buy this product and you'll be super mom or you'll be super sexy because it's very insulting. It falls flat. Women are a lot more strategic when they buy. So marketing to women requires a multifaceted approach. On a larger scale, women want to know who they're buying from, how the company operates, and what kind of products and services and long-term relationship they can expect from that company. And like I said, they're very detail and process oriented. So quick case in point, if a woman goes to a mechanic for a routine car maintenance, she wants to know exactly what will be done on a checklist. And she wants to know what she's getting for her money.
Wow. And Michelle's laughing and shaking her head.
Yeah, because I
that?
Really don't care. I'll just
you don't
write
bring
the check
a checklist?
And be done with it. No.
Well, you're not a typical woman, Michelle.
Thank goodness.
All right. We are going to pause for a commercial from today's Second Show sponsor, ESP.
Attention suppliers, are your products updated in ESP and ready for the new year? Now's the time to send ASI's ESP classifying department your catalog so they can update your information in our system before show season. If your catalog PDF is ready for the printer, it's ready to send to us. Email it to us today at espupdate@asicentral.com or call 215-953-4377 with any questions. Remember, distributors are looking for your up-to-date information in ESP after they attend the shows, so don't miss out on sales because your outdated product information is in ESP. Update your information now. Send us your information.
All right. Send your information in. Welcome back to the ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. Tim Andrews was giggling just a moment ago.
Because I was going to pinch Michelle, but I didn't know she was. I didn't know she was doing the ad.
Isn't that against? Isn't there some policy in the employee handbook about pitching people?
I don't know.
All right. All right. How many people here use the white pages when they're looking up a number?
You mean print?
Correct.
No way.
Anybody?
Does anyone know where their white pages are?
I don't know if I even have them.
Joe's sitting on
yeah,
his.
Sitting on my bookshelf.
Well, then I guess.
It's in my car. I just drive.
That lends credence to this next segment. Joe, apparently the white pages are dead and the yellow pages are far behind, not far
well,
behind.
Well, the white pages are dead. Actually, New York, Florida, and PA are going to stop printing them, and other states are trying to get permission to opt out of having to print
What's
them.
What's my great-grandmother going to do?
Wow.
She's going to have to call you, and then you'll have to look up the number for her.
Okay.
Yeah, the usage is down as more people are relying on their numbers inside their cell phones, and their phones at home can store all those, you know, most called numbers, so it's easy to find those numbers. You don't have to look them up anymore. And one survey in Dallas showed that only 11% of people are relying on the white pages. So Texas is one of those states that would like to be able to not have to print them, and the impact on the environment would be good, that there's less paper use, there's less ink use, and that energy that is used to produce them will be conserved. So there's an upside. But are the yellow pages next? Not necessarily. As one trade group claims that more than half of the people in the U.S. still rely on the yellow pages. The yellow pages have the yellow pages and the blue pages in there for government numbers.
Does that
numbers.
Include online or no?
Does that include that? We're talking about the print books.
Okay.
So they're not going away quite yet. Michelle's looking at me, you know, like I'm crazy.
Because
but
I can't even imagine the last time any. When's the last time any of us used a yellow page?
I used the yellow pages.
I threw away all my phone books last week because it's
okay.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just look online or
right?
Well, if the computer's not on, then you have to turn the computer on.
My
with
computer's
to come
always
on. See, you know, mine's not, so it's
well,
easy sometimes.
Past,
I know where
Joe.
The book is. I pull it out. The white pages, we take the, you know, 2010, we'll throw it out when the 2011 shows up, and we'll never use it.
The white pages I get because, you know, the fact of the matter is most people have a cell phone, and cell phones are not in the white pages.
Right.
So that's really a listing of numbers that I don't even know who those things are.
Landlines, like, and landline usage is going down
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, it's like dropping double digit every year, so mm-hmm. I understand that point. On the yellow pages, you know, I do use the yellow pages once in a while. I have a copy at
well,
home.
Well, sometimes there's ads and coupons. And
yeah.
There is ads.
Or menus for restaurants.
Well, that's
I just
menus.
Don't know. You know, I want to look for a locksmith or something, you know, and you're like, okay, AAA locksmith, and you can look on the web and, you know, and where I live, and there's probably like 50 locksmiths. How do I choose which one? So I go to the yellow pages and I say, okay, which one's got the biggest ad because they must be the most
right,
you know, reputable.
Well, some have ratings in there. Some will have a promotional code where you can get a discount if you say you've got it from the yellow pages.
I look online too.
Yeah.
But,
so what does this mean for our industry? I think that if the yellow pages were to go away, there'd be more opportunity for distributors in the industry, so it might be something to keep an eye on. But according to this report, the white pages are dead, yellow pages aren't quite there yet.
I think it's a great point, because if I were a distributor, I would look and see who had the biggest pages in the
sure.
in the yellow pages and go to those businesses and say, I don't know what you're spending, but it's expensive, you
mm-hmm.
know, yellow pages. You know, cut your budget by 50% and use promotional items to supplement, you know, the work you're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, take the money out of the yellow pages. But
there's a lot of good things in there, Michelle. Restaurant menus. Look,
pizza.
I don't think Michelle's convinced.
I have this newfangled thing called a BlackBerry, Joe, where, you know, I just pull all that information
You and Laura
up.
Bush. Just look up everything on your BlackBerry. All right, now it's time for Joe's favorite segment. Joe, Nicole, and Michelle are going to tell us their favorite product of the week. Joe, what do you have?
I have Vinny's going to hold it up here. It's a custom Zagat's Dining Guide, and what I love about this is that any organization that is hosting an event can give this to people who come to their events, trade shows, sales meetings. They go to a city that they're not familiar with. That'll give them some options of where they can go eat if they're looking for sushi, if they're looking for Chinese, if they're looking for Italian, whatever it is, would be in that book. There's also an opportunity to offer them a free 90-day trial for the Zagat's online. They have smaller versions as this one is. You have one that's the size of a number 10 envelope that can be mailed out to people. Also great for event planners and travel agents, because, you know, you're trying to send people to Las Vegas, you're trying to send them to San Francisco, you can give them a little, you know, shelf here by saying, look at all the great places to eat. So I think it's
and
an awesome
And who's that available
thing.
From?
Oh, Zagat Survey, and their ASI number is 98908.
All right, we're going to put all these products online, too, at ASI.com/radio. Nicole, what's your favorite product?
All right, my favorite product this week is a white burnout tunic tank from Alternative Apparel. It's ASI 3485.
A tunic tank?
Tunic tank. It's a long shirt with burnout, so you've got, you know, mm-hmm. the kind of transparent fabric. What I love about it is you can do discharge printing on it, and it looks really cool against the fabric. Plus, you can put a camisole underneath. And I think that these are good items for companies to give away. They're very fast and forward, retail looking, and they're long, so they, you know, you can wear them under a hoodie and stuff like that. So that's my pick of the week.
My 11-year-old daughter, that's her favorite thing now.
Burnout?
Burnout TV.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, Michelle, what's your favorite product?
Well, I should also mention Kathy is out today, but her favorite product is on our website as well, so you can check out Kathy's favorite product. Mine is a patented item from DAR Design, ASI 48500, and it is a pill capsule stapler. And it is something that Bonnie Sandy designed, and it would be perfect for pharmacies, pharmacy colleges, and those who love pharmaceuticals. And it looks like a big pill, and it's got these little flags that you can flag pages, and it's a stapler. And it's just
wow. Really cool. We should get you one, because you are quite
She's
a pill.
She's the biggest pill we know.
She is. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Let me take a look at that. I like that.
That is perfect.
Mm-hmm. We'll Bonnie is really creative. She
yes,
comes
she
up
is.
With lots of interesting designs.
Yes, she is.
We will have a picture of Michelle's favorite product and the others online at asiacentral.com/radio. Michelle, we're going to wrap up by you're going to tell us a couple annoying habits at work, and we're going to see if anyone in this room does those things.
We get
right
to guess
her.
Who does them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
just
okay.
Keep your finger pointed right there.
You're unprepared. You show up for meetings, interviews, and arranged work sessions without the equipment or data that you need, and it demonstrates a lack of respect for your coworkers and yourself.
Oh, no one here
no
does
one
that.
No, I think okay. We're pretty
we're
good.
All very well prepared.
You're loud on the phone. As she looks to Joe Haley. Loud phone conversations can be offensive to your neighbors, so try to keep your voice low and even, Joe.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You shake hands like a fish and you avoid eye contact.
I hate that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
When somebody won't look you in the eye, it signifies that they're sneaky or sketchy and have something to hide. Your cell phone is always on.
Oh.
I don't know who does that.
Mm-hmm.
It is
my ringer's off.
It signifies that the person that you're with is not as important as what's in your hand.
Yeah.
Last, we'll post all these on our website. You're not self-reliant, meaning that you're not able to work on your own at your own pace, that you're constantly asking others for help and to pitch in on your own projects. I don't think anybody like that. Is
we don't like that.
No. So all we'll right. Post the rest of these on our website.
All right. Well, make sure you don't possess any of those annoying habits. Well, we are out of time. Thanks for listening to today's radio show. Thanks to today's show sponsor, I Promote You. And thanks very much to First Lady Laura Bush for joining the show. You can check her out at ASI Dallas. Go to asishow.com. Have a great day, everyone.